So I'm kind of battling a little bit of a head cold. I don't think I'm contagious, but you know, I don't ever know. So I'm just going to kind of do away with like hanging out and hugging and high-fiving and all that kind of stuff today. So just consider yourself hugged. Yes, yes. Cold squeeze. Thank you to everyone who showed up yesterday as well for work day. What is that, a big old? Oh, okay, that's all right. Showed up, we got a few things done. We cleaned up all the fellowship tables and like 30-some-odd chairs. We got them cleaned up and bleached up and looking good. Parking lot, Tim was working on the parking lot back there too. Thank you for that. Some closets got cleaned out. Some shrubs got cut. Some stairwells got cleaned. Just thank you. There's more on the list. There's, you know, we missed you if you weren't here, but we'll continue to try to keep pecking at maintaining the church and doing things that need to get done. And so I just want to say thank you for all those good deeds. And the psalm that David is writing here talks about the good deeds of God. And he talks about all of God's glorious deeds. And he has a list that he kind of goes through. Reasons to praise God. God forgives us. Amen. He heals our diseases. He redeems us from death. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires. He gives us righteousness and mercy. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He removes sin far from us, and his love is with those that fear him. We can just leave now and say God is good, right? No matter how difficult your journey, you can always count your blessings. How many have ever heard that, right? Well, count your blessings. Don't forget to count your blessings. Did you know you could write your own psalm? You could write your own psalm unto God and all the great things that he has done. Some of you have kept journals. Anybody ever kept a journal for a time? Or you write stuff down and you journal some things, right? We've had a journal going for years and years and years and years and years. We just, every once in a while, we write stuff down in that journal. David writes a lot of things. Sometimes not all the good stuff. Sometimes just the frustrations, right? And all the psalms are just filled with all this emotion that we all can relate to. I'm going to share some. I'm going to need a tissue at some point. I'm going to share something with you I had to, that I learned from, yeah, I'm looking towards a woman, yeah. just give me a whole pack here. Okay. That one looks used. And a Band-Aid. Oh my gosh. What do you got going on in here, woman? It's like, let's make a deal. Got a paper clip? $20 for a push pin. Oh, sorry. But I recognize my nose probably going to run a little bit. So I learned something from Oprah Winfrey. Right? I learned something from Oprah Winfrey. And this was many years ago now, right? And this is what Oprah said that she did. Do you remember these old photo albums when we used to have actual photos? Now everything's digital, right? But you'd have photos. And those old photo albums, they'd just open up in that page, right? And then they'd have this plastic silicone sticky thing, right? And you'd put it back and you'd put the, you know, put the photo in there and then you'd close it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so you probably still have some at your house, I bet. Some of us do, right? Some of us do. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that she did was that she kept, like, old notes that people wrote her to encourage her, to offer her encouragement. Or somebody would send her a card and said, you really meant a lot to me when you shared about that. And so she'd take those notes and she'd put them in that photo album, right? And there were times whenever she didn't feel like she was worthy or didn't feel like she was doing too well or world started getting pressure on her, she'd go back to that photo album, you know, and she'd sit there and she'd fall and she'd go, I made a difference for that guy. Turn the page. They love me. They love me. Even though everybody else hates me, right? I know they. I meant something to them. And so actually, I started to do that. I learned to do that. Early on in the ministry, I kept notes that people would write. Because along the way, there's 1,000 reasons to quit. Right? 1,000 reasons. I don't need this. And dealing with people? Are you kidding me? And so I would keep a few that somebody wrote something or they gave a card or it was some pastor appreciation thing. And I would go back and I would, you know, I meant something there to that person. I'm doing right. I'm doing okay. Right? And you give yourself these positive affirmations. Now, at some point along the way, I began to believe deep down to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. That I didn't really need people's affirmation to carry out the will of God in my life. While early on, it was helpful, there comes a time and there came a point when you just realize, I'm all in. And I don't need the affirmation from other people. I have an audience of one. I just share that because that's a pretty big step along the way in someone's maturity as a Christian and the depth of their faith and what it is that really keeps you going. Other people's affirmation? It's supporting, it's encouraging, but that can't be the reason. We began preaching a focus this year on personal revival. I don't know if many even knew that was going on, but the elders in their wisdom and in their prayers involving what we're going to do and the directions that we're going to head, we landed on this personal revival. So we've been preaching about those things that are personal to our own revival. And oftentimes people come to a crisis in their own faith, and they need to come to a crisis in their faith to make them choose which way they're going to go. And so when we preach about personal revival, we talk about things like prayer and grace and personal growth that starts small, even like the faith of a mustard seed. And so even today, as I'm looking through this psalm and praying about this psalm and some of the easier things to talk about, but one of the harder things to talk about within the scripture was recognition of God's forgiveness. That God's forgiveness is complete. If you've been hanging around Christians for a while, if you've been coming to church, or pretty much any church for any length of time, you've heard a sermon or two about forgiveness. We know we're supposed to forgive others, and we know that it's probably better in our own hearts. It helps us to forgive more than it even does another person that we might be forgiving. I've heard a lot of sermons about forgiveness, but I've not heard too many sermons about the reality of forgiving yourself. God forgives us, and we're supposed to forgive others. But have we learned how to forgive ourselves? This is a very personal side to the prospect of forgiveness. I don't want us to miss the importance of understanding what that means in our own well-being, in our own walk. Here's your first one, because forgiveness is personal. Forgiveness is personal. It's part of that personal revival that you're going to have to weigh and get through and begin to understand. Forgiving ourselves is kind of a different issue. We have all these internal thoughts that just keep spinning in our heads. Especially if we're the ones that have hurt others. Or we can feel as if we've sinned or failed as a parent, failed as a spouse, failed as a sibling. Odds are we've all failed at one time or another. And oftentimes we can be the ones that have allowed substance abuse to run our lives. Or we've allowed alcoholism to saturate our relationships to the point of breaking. We can be the ones that have anger issues that really have spoken to people that we love in very disrespectful and unloving manners. We can be the ones that have lied and did things that were unethical, immoral, selfish, self-serving, taking no account of others. We can argue our points and argue our points and argue our points and sever relationships. We can be the ones. We know we've done wrong, hurt other people and hurt ourselves, injure the lives of others. We are the sinners. We have sinned. This is why we're so grateful for God to say, you are forgiven. We've heard this before. We know hurt people hurt people. We've all been hurt. Often, though, we come to the places that we have unresolved guilt of our own lives, of our own sins. And it can be a very heavy burden that we carry. Because I know the truth. I know the truth about me. The truth is I have influenced people to do bad things, immoral things, unethical things. I have coerced people into getting drunk and making bad decisions. I have led people into uncomfortable situations. I've done that. I'm reminded of a time when I was at it must have been a NASCAR, modified NASCAR event, right? So it's a big event. I don't remember it was. Must have been Connecticut. Maybe I was with you. Thompson 300, okay? It's a big event. Cars everywhere, campers everywhere. It goes on for, you know, several days. Porta potties just right, 30, 40 potties and all that kind of stuff, and cars and campers and campfires and drinking and kegs and wow, it's a party. So one time when we were just, I remember this very well, I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was with Miss Melinda there or not. I don't know, but we must have just been hanging, talking or something, and I'm hearing these couple kids, and I take a look, and they're walking, and they got a quarter stick of dynamite. You ever see what a quarter stick of dynamite looks like? Looks like a push-up pop. You ever seen a push-up pop, like a push-up, right, from the ice cream thing? It's a little, about, you know, it's like a quarter stick of dynamite, okay? Bigger than an M80, like quarter stick of dynamite. And so they're talking. I just see them, and then I see what they got. And then I hear, we don't have a lighter. What are we going to get a lighter? I don't have a lighter. You're going to get a lighter. I don't know who to ask for a lighter. And I go, just so happens. And so all I did was walk over and go, could you use that? And walked away. That's all I did. 5 minutes later, boom! 4 porta potties. Boom. Boom. Just bam! Doors, right? I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. Oftentimes when you feel as if you've sinned against others, that it can be hard to feel as if you should even forgive yourself, or that you should be forgiven. Guilt can linger a long time. Some folks, though, they never feel the guilt. They never feel the shame. They never worry about violating someone else's trust or hurting someone else. They have no qualms about it. They have no conscience about it. They don't really care about others. They're very self-serving and self-seeking. And as long as they're satisfied, they don't care about the hurt of others. Some can wear the guilt of their past and the shame of their past. Oftentimes, people will fall here. They'll fall into this default position that God is disappointed in us. That God is disenchanted with us. That God is frustrated with you. Or that, you know, God doesn't like us very much. That he simply tolerates me and he kind of puts up with me. I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to be able to breathe in the breath of life that God gave you. That you might understand completely before the foundation of the earth, I knew you. I called you. I loved you. Regardless of the tough days that you have, I am with you. Regardless of the difficulty that you struggle in every day, I am with you. Even in your hypocrisy, I am with you. Even in your doubts, I am with you. Even in your ability, your inability to live out perfection, I am with you. Through your bad habits and your bad attitudes, I'm with you. Before the foundations of the earth, I knew you. I knew all about you. In your anger, in your failures, in your struggles, in your inconsistencies, in the terrible things you say about me, to me, or about yourself, I am with you. I am with you. And I am that I am. And I am with you. God lavishes his grace upon you. He lavishes his forgiveness upon you. He does not regret saving you. He has concern for your soul. He's cared for your soul. He's caring for your soul. And this forgiveness that flows from the heavens into our very souls, we need to learn how to apply that into our own lives. We need to learn how to forgive ourselves. Oftentimes, this can be a challenge because we justify our mistakes. Well, I didn't mean to hurt them. I didn't mean to cause a problem. Hey, I didn't light the dynamite. I had to look at those porta potties for days afterwards. How many people are influenced by the heavy heart of their own choices? It's not an accident. It's not an accident that I'm a sinner. It's not an accident that you're a sinner. I'm guilty. You're guilty. Nobody's perfect. Is there anyone here that not need of forgiveness? Anybody not got something in their past? Anybody not need a savior to wash them clean? See, I needed the Lord to work in my life just like he worked in David's life. Praise the Lord, not my tongue. Praise the Lord, not my hands, not my feet. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins. This is soul care. This is God caring for you in a spiritual level, in an eternal way. And this is us learning to understand about taking care of our very own soul. Forget not his benefits. It's far beyond a physical body. It's far beyond temporary indiscretions. It's far beyond passing out lighters. We're talking oftentimes about intentionality of people, intentionally doing evil. There are people that intentionally do evil. You are not a follower of God if you are intentionally doing evil, intentionally perpetrating that which is immoral, promoting sin, leading others into the abyss. You can't keep passing out the lighters, leading people astray. That's the heroin dealer who doesn't do heroin. Is he guilty? Are you? You cannot love God and intentionally do evil things over and over and over and over again. The scriptures are pretty clear on some of this subject. Those that continue to do these things and live this way do not inherit the kingdom of God. Accidental or intentional sins. Now, what about those we don't even know about? What about the times you've sinned against someone and you don't even know it? You don't even recognize it. Your own pride is so strong, you've hurt other people and sinned against them, and we wouldn't even think twice about it. Oh, I didn't mean to, right? So there's the I meant to. I meant to. I know the evil that I did. Then there's the, well, I didn't mean to. And then there's the ones that I didn't even know about. I didn't even know about. Are those sins forgivable? Which sins aren't forgivable? And which ones are you wearing on your soul, affecting your daily life? That God's trying to speak to you in a deeper spiritual way, and you're ignoring it. See, this is what makes it so personal. This is what makes it so personal. My sins, not your sins. To God, simply sins of the world. Sins of the world, you've missed the mark. Maybe your mark was a little different than mine, but we both missed the mark. Injuring our very own souls. To God, no one sin different than the next. No person any worse than another. We're the ones who kind of put the tags on it. Well, that's horrific. Well, that's not so bad. You know, you didn't light the dynamite. To God, a sinner needs a savior. God cannot abide where there is sin. The holiness and the righteousness of God cannot dwell where there is sin. He has to cleanse our soul. God cares about you. God forgives you. Can you forgive yourself? And do you even know what that means and what that looks like for your soul? Because when your soul changes and transforms, everything about what you do changes. It's not trying to eradicate behavior so that my soul will be good. It's about how about have a good soul and you will eradicate the evil behavior. God forgives, and you know what he forgives? This sin. He forgives that sin. He forgives my sin. He forgives her sin. He forgives their sin. He forgives all sin. And he separated you from your sin. Different than my sin. But he separated you from that sin as far as the east is from the west. God forgives you. Do you forgive yourself? Because many times we find ourselves here, and I know this to be a truth. Here's your next slide. That no amount of guilt can change my past. And no amount of worry can change my future. And we will spend hours and hours and hours living in guilt and shame concerning our past, wasting valuable, precious time and a valuable, precious life when God is already forgiven and you're rehashing and reliving. And there's no amount of worry or anxiety about your future that will change your future. And yet we spend hours and hours in anxiousness and worry about things that we already know this. We already know this, and we step in it anyway. We already know this, and we live in it anyway. We no longer have to wear this. We don't have to wear this shame and this worry and this guilt. We don't have to wear this anxiety anymore. There's no fault and no blame. God delivers a freedom. We must embrace and receive and walk in that freedom. If you believe you're free, what are you free from? Have you just escaped hell? Is that all you got in this life? Was God just gave you get out of hell free card with Jesus' name on it? And that's all? Is that it? If that's all there is and that's it, that ain't enough for me. I'm alive now. I'm here now. I'm dealing with this now. You got me through all eternity. Amen. Thank you, God. When I die, you got me. I get it. What are you doing with me now? Nothing? When did my eternity start? Right now. He cares for your soul. This flesh withers and dies. Your soul continues. Praise the Lord, my soul. Oftentimes we are our own worst enemies. We're hanging on our bad choices and worrying about wrong decisions and heavy regrets and resentments. It's baggages of self-loathing and wasting precious time and precious life. And then we do things to ourselves that God would never do to us. You see people that will cut themselves. You see people that will self-medicate themselves. You see anger displacement. They're upset and they're angry that they lost money, so they kick the dog and yell at the wife. God doesn't do these things. And then we say things to ourselves that God would never say to us. The self-talk that keeps going on in this flesh mind of ours. Oh, I hate myself. I hate my hair. I hate what I look like. I hate. And then you're just spewing and speaking things into your own soul. And you're injuring your own soul. And God doesn't see you like that. Do you really have the eyes of Christ to even view yourself? Do you have the eyes of Christ to even forgive yourself and what that means to the very depths of your soul and how it changes everything about your life? It's far beyond logical. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit of God that affects you in ways you can't explain. And if you could explain it, it probably isn't spiritual. I am not even what I say I am. I am what God says I am. I have to forget and forgive all the things I've said to myself that God never said, that I believed about what I said to myself, that God never said that. I have to forgive myself. I have been forgiven of who I was. I'm striving towards being what God desires me to be. And today we can lay it all down for good and not pick it back up, because there comes a time when you're going to need to be able to forgive ourselves, learn from those mistakes, and get on with a better life. Carrying guilt will not fix anything, but it will harm your soul. Carrying guilt will not change the past, but it will only weigh you down going forward. Carrying all that shame and that guilt and those burdens, it will not make the past right. It will only harm your soul. So I have an exercise that I put in here that we need to try to practice. And maybe you'll, it's a simple prayer. Maybe you'll pray it with me. And if you trust me, maybe you'll repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. Help me to forgive myself as you have forgiven me. In Jesus' name. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place is remembered no more. And forgiveness is your next one, is passionate. Forgiveness is passionate. Passion in such a way as that you can feel it. That you can feel it. When the Lord tells us he has come to give us a life and life to the abundance, what do you think that means? That it means only the good stuff? What's a life of abundance mean? It means the whole spectrum of life. He's given you life. You breathed in life. Every possible scenario that's going on in life, from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, from the joyfulness to the sorrow, from bliss to grief, from death to birth, and all the places in between. This is an abundance of life. It's an emotional being. You're an emotional human being as God had created you. We should see ourselves in the scriptures, laughing and crying, rejoicing and praising, clapping, weeping. And the Psalms are full of emotional trauma. And David must have experienced an abundance of life. Do you want an abundance of life? I want an abundance of life. Because eventually, someday soon, this flesh gone. And what have you experienced? Life. God breathed life into me, and he saved me, and he touched me to the very depths of my soul, and I had the experience God desired for me to have while I walked in this flesh. I've experienced massive amounts of experiences with God, from grace and mercy, miracles and compassion, wisdom and knowledge that go beyond our understanding, his leading and his discernment, his guidance. My God is a God that is passionate about, are you ready for the word? I know you know the word, but do you get it in its entirety? God is passionate about love. Love and what that means. Faith and hope and love remain, but all fade away, but all that remains is. You don't need to have faith when the flesh is gone and you're in heaven. There's no need to evangelize in heaven. You don't have to hope for heaven anymore. Why? You're there. Now all you experience is the love of God. Pure love of God. God knows we're vapor. The life of mortals, anyone in here immortal? Your flesh is not, but your soul carries on. I know we love to spend billions of dollars taking care of the flesh. I promise you, no one gets out alive. I promise you, I don't care what you do. But you want to talk about soul care? You want to talk about taking care of that which is eternal? Now you're talking my language. Now you're talking about the things that go on after you're gone. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. The flesh is temporary. The soul continues. The flesh is momentary. The soul is eternal. And you can feel it. God is passionate about love. He's passionate about forgiveness. He's passionate about compassion. He's passionate about grace and mercy. He's in love with you. I remember watching, if I have time for this one, I don't know, wearing myself out. Remember watching this movie, and it was not a feel-good movie, called The Wrestler. Anybody ever watch The Wrestler? Mickey Rourke is a wrestler, and he's just, you know, he had his prime, you know, now it's 20 years later, everything's moved on, and he's just an old, retired, kind of trying to keep his fame, right? And it ends like awful. It ends dark, sad, and depressing. And I remember Melinda going, I just didn't like that movie. Why not? It didn't feel good. But you felt something. You felt something. That movie won a Golden Globe and got an Oscar nod, right? Because you felt something. We're all looking for the feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good. And then you go, that felt awful. But you felt something, right? You felt it. Oh, yeah. I felt it all right. As God had created you. There's a passion. There's a feeling that God wants you to get and understand and embrace. A resolve to that which is of God. Personal revival. Personal forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves lightens our own loads and it heals our own soul. And it's passionate because it'll stir you up. Because you'll stir up and you'll go, I didn't like me very much back then. I didn't like the things I used to do. It reaches down deep into the recesses of your heart. And sometimes only to those things that only you and God know that you will take to the grave. That no one else on this planet will know but you. That's how personal it is. That's how deep it is. That place where the flesh and the spirit collide, where the Holy Spirit begins to recognize the chains that are holding you back. The chains of the flesh that bind you. The chains of the mind that just keep going over and over and over and saying things to you that's not of God. Forgive yourself already. Move on. God has set you free. I don't know if I made a slide for this or not. Maybe I did. Forgiving and forgetting has to start with ourselves. We've heard this, you know, countless questions. Pastor, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Anybody? I'm trying to forgive myself, but I can't forget. How do you forgive and forget? I've got a whole nother sermon on how to forgive and forget. It's impossible. Forgetting is like not bringing it back up again. If I forgave someone of their transgressions, why am I bringing it back up again? If someone forgave me of my transgressions, why are they bringing it back up again? They really haven't forgiven, have they? They certainly haven't forgotten, but they haven't forgiven. They're still holding it against you. They're holding you account to something that was 25 years ago. See, it's learning to not rehash the stuff in your head, right? It's learning to not go over your own faults over and over and over and over again. I would not bring one of my better friends and say, you know what? You know what you are? You did this 25 years ago, and that's who you are. I wouldn't be very much of a friend to do that, would I? And yet we do that to ourselves over and over. You're not even friendly to yourself because you entertain the thoughts. You entertain the self-talk. You entertain all these things that just bring you down, and you say your things to yourself that God doesn't say to you. It's learning to not live. This is how my mom would say it. My mom would say, you know, you're going to have to erase those old tapes. You have to erase those old tapes. Because I would say something from my son, you have to erase those old tapes. Wow. What depths of understanding from this wise mother of mine. Do you think I even fully grasped then? I'm trying to tell you, if you can grab hold of understanding that sometimes you just keep hitting the rewind button and play, rewind and play, rewind and play, and you're harming your soul, and you're distancing yourself. I thought you were forgiven, but how do I forget? Don't play the tapes. And the thoughts are going to come because the enemy likes to throw the thoughts. The enemy will do that. They'll throw the thoughts at you. But you don't have to entertain them. You don't have to keep on staying here, because before long, you'll just be walking in the dark into the self-loathing. And if you desire to learn and to understand about this, you're going to have to learn to love yourself. See, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you can't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving your neighbor. If you can't forgive yourself, you're going to have a hard time forgiving someone else when they've done something to you, whether they intentionally did it, didn't mean to do it, or unknowingly even did it. If you can't forgive yourself, you're never going to be able to forgive them, because you don't know how. You don't even know how to forgive yourself. How can you possibly forgive someone else? If you can't give yourself some grace, some mercy, it's going to be hard to give it to someone else. Forgiveness is a passionate journey. It's passionate because it involves a lot of feelings. It's kind of like you have to put your own oxygen mask on, right? Before you can help someone else breathe. If you really expect forgiveness from others, you're going to have to get some good forgiveness for yourself that you might be able to implement. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. And watch, forgiveness is purposeful. Here's your last one. Forgiveness is purposeful. There's purpose behind it. In order to understand some of the ways of God, we have to begin to change our views of God and where you think God is and what you think God is doing. Do you think of God as a cruel judge? He's just standing, he's just sitting up there in heaven as a cruel judge waiting for you to pay for your iniquities. Guilty as charged! I already know I am. But I thought I was forgiven, Your Honor, in the name of Jesus. God has paved a way for your iniquities. If your sins are as far from the east as from the west, why do you keep bringing them up to the judge? Maybe you think God is a morality accountant. He's just a businessman who's on a calculator. Well, there's another sin. Well, there's another sin. Well, there's another sin. Well, that's four today times six. Every day this week he's done that. Is that what you think? He's just waiting for you to die so that he can go, you're in debt, son. Time to pay up. God has redeemed you. You've been set free, baby. Set free. How do you view God? God has set you free. And then you're telling ourselves, we're just, where are you at in understanding how much God loves you and how much he has forgiven you? How much great, when he says lavish upon you, you're overwhelmed with grace, overwhelmed with mercy, overwhelmed with forgiveness. You can barely breathe without his love. He doesn't resent you. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. That'll make you cry, Jess. That will make you cry when you understand what you deserve. Yes, I gave him the lighter. I gave him the lighter. I should have talked him out of it, but I gave him the lighter. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He is purposeful in his forgiveness towards us. Watch now. Listen, you've heard this. I said it, and I think you probably believe it. Hurt people, hurt people. Since the book, I think, right? Hurt people, hurt people. And we've all been hurt. Listen. Healed people help people. Healed people help people. God has healed your soul. Go tell somebody how their soul can be healed. Go tell somebody who's lost their way. Their souls can be healed. God desires you. I know we land a lot of times here that it's we need him. It's about us thinking that we need him, and we do need him. I need his forgiveness to be poured out upon me. I am guilty. Thank you, Lord. The Lord desires you. He created you. He longs to be with you. He created a path so that you might be forgiven of all that separates you. To be involved in your life, to minister into your soul, to bring healing and comfort and strength, to give you an eternity with his presence. And isn't that the ultimate point? That we might have a relationship with this wonderful God that goes far beyond our mortal body. Because that which is mortal cannot inherit that which is immortal. And that which is perishable cannot inherit that which is imperishable. God has made a way that you might spend eternity in his presence. Forgiveness is purposeful for you. Oh, that we would represent this great and awesome God to a world that doesn't know him. Introduce this amazing God to a dark world, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be the ambassadors to those that are struggling, that there is hope, to be the comfort that when they have lost their way. God desires us to be part of his plan. There's a purpose to be part of his plan. To praise and honor and glory are his. Redemption is found in him. You are not an accident. You are remembered and you are loved. Not that you earned it, not that you deserved it, not that you asked for it, but here you are. Life is upon us. Here we are, when we are. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who would fear him. Are you going to grab hold of this loving, personal, passionate God who's purposeful in your life about caring for your soul? Would you honor him? Would you imitate him by forgiving yourself? The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Humans are an amazing creation among all the heavenly hosts, among all the dominions and all the dimensions. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much for this moment, for this time. Father, I thank you for giving me the strength to endure and to carry on. Father, thank you for propping me up, making me feel as if I could. And so, Father, in this place, this day, I would pray your Spirit fall afresh upon us in a way, Father, that maybe we might never thought of, or a way that we don't recognize that we need to forgive ourselves and that we have a soul that we need to care for as you have cared for us. Father, I pray we do not work against you. May we say the things to ourselves that you say to us. May we recognize our transgressions are far from us. We do not have to walk in those ways anymore. We are a new creation. We are new, made new by you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Continue to minister into our very hearts and souls. Give us the eyes of Christ that we would see ourselves as you see us. And we would certainly give you all the praise and the glory and adoration that you so richly deserve. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you, thank you.